Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Shogger, how was your weekend? You obviously didn't run into a tree skiing, so that's good news.
No, came down the hill in one piece almost every time, and that's a successful weekend for me, and 2 days of skiing out at Louise. It was really nice, actually. Had a really, really good time and got through it unscathed. That's a good weekend.
Well, it wasn't a great week. Well, Friday night's Oilers game was great entertainment. Like, that was one of the best games to watch
back,
all year.
Yeah, they bounced back. Remember what we talked about on Thursday? It was sort of like, what do you expect from them? And Todd Nelson seems to be able to get a team to bounce back after an ugly game, and they did again. And then they were brutal the next game after that. So,
well, for the half, they started well. They started well against Carolina. They're up 3-0, and then the wheels fell off.
Yeah, well, you can't have the wheels fall off against Carolina. I mean, that can't happen. That was terrible. They started well and scored some goals, and then just the bottom fell out from underneath them. So, I mean, look, they have 2 wins in their last 10 games. They're still brutal, although they're a lot more beat up now than probably at any other point in time this season. But, yeah, you can't have that happen against the Carolina Hurricanes. That was no good.
Not at all. You watched the midway through the second period. Like, their penalty kill was atrocious. Obviously,
yeah.
They couldn't stop anything to save their life. It's funny how many people have said Richard Bachman, like, and I don't want to pick on one player, but Richard Bachman's not an NHL goaltender. Hopefully people know he's a good AHL goaltender. That's what he's going to be. He's not, anyone should consider him somebody that they would use as a goalie in the future.
Yeah, no, and I'm not sure, what are people saying? Like, people think that they need to, that he's the answer in some way, shape, or form?
A lot of people early in the year were saying, bring up Bachman, see what he can do. Well, I'm telling you, Bachman's no better than Foster Scrivens.
No, hasn't shown himself to be so far. I mean, he is where he is for a reason. So, I don't view him as the answer to all of their goaltending woes by any stretch. And even as a backup, like even to be a regular NHL backup, I think he's in tight to even get that done at this point. So, I mean, you don't want to rip on a guy you just got here and he's getting a few starts. So good on him. But, yeah, he's far from the answer to all the Oilers' goaltending problems.
I want to talk other things in the NHL because the Oilers taking on the Red Wings tonight. I think it's pretty obvious. The Oilers can be officially eliminated from postseason if they lose tonight. So that's the one thing you can take from from the game tonight.
By the way, how brutal was Stephen Weiss last night? My goodness! Can you believe those giveaways? Holy smokes! I mean, that one where I think they were on the power play.
Both were on the power play.
Yeah. Well, one, he tried to stick handle through a defenseman in the middle of the ice on the power play and ended up in his own net. Like, that is, I mean, you just don't come back from that. I mean, just go sit down or take your gear off. I mean, it was atrocious. And it just shows, like, holy smokes, man, that guy he's fallen so far, and that contract is just terrible. But, man, oh, man, you want to talk about Yakupov and his frustrating giveaways? I mean, that was as bad as it'll ever get.
It was pretty atrocious for a veteran player, especially twice at the blue line on the entry.
Can you imagine Mike Babcock, like, having to go back to the room and face Mike Babcock after that? Like, what does he even say? I wish I could have been a little fly on the wall of that conversation because yeah, that was pretty unbelievable, and it's maybe refreshing for other fans to see that happens all over the league, not just in Edmonton where those sort of things take place. It even can happen on decent teams.
Well, it can. I'm curious to see how Babcock responds to that one. You know, he might probably gives him the benefit of the doubt. He's a veteran player, but I'm guessing there was something in the video room.
Oh man! Wow! Did you even need to? I mean, they showed a shot of him on the bench. He was pretty unhappy. I just wonder if that's I didn't look at the game log or the shift charts. I don't know if he benched him after that or not. Probably should have, but.
When you look at the Eastern Conference, do you think Florida and Ottawa, can either one of them catch Boston, or are the Bruins starting to catch fire now and they'll slowly pull away from those two?
Yeah, well, it seems like the Bruins have kind of woken up a little bit, eh? Like they were in a little bit of a slumber and they were sliding, and then the trade deadline came and went. And even though Brett Connolly isn't able to help him right now, it just seems like since that deadline, they've sort of turned the wheel a little bit here. So, I mean, I think they're going to be hard pressed to to catch them. I think that Boston had its scare, and I don't imagine they're going to fall back as far as they were before. So I would say that they'll be real hard-pressed to not make the playoffs now that they managed to get through their tough time and turn it around. I don't see a big setback coming for them, do you? I mean, I wouldn't predict that.
No, not at this moment. I think Boston's just too good. I didn't expect them to be in eighth place, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
I'm more so intrigued, though, by the races everywhere else in the Western Conference. Like Detroit, because they played the fewest games in the Atlantic, they are five back of Tampa Bay, but they got some games in hand. They still have an outside shot. It's not great, but an outside chance of catching Tampa Bay. And I just think like Montreal and Tampa Bay are only separated by 2 points from the 1 and 2 seed in the Atlantic. The Islanders are right there. Like, you've got a lot of races everywhere in the NHL, from the top of the standings to the playoff cutoff, and then at the very bottom, because the way the Oilers are playing, obviously it's hard pressed to catch Buffalo, but Edmonton has a way harder schedule than Buffalo does down the stretch.
Yeah, you never know, man. Like, honestly, you never know. With as banged up as the Oilers are, and even though Todd Nelson maybe has them competing a little bit better, I mean, the record still, it's been terrible. It's just been terrible. So I'm not going to count them out of it yet. Like you say, the schedule isn't that great. What are they got, a 4-point spread between them and the Sabres?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not going to count the Oilers out of this thing yet. As far as finishing dead last, I still think that there's potential. And even though they're playing, I don't know, I would say they're competing harder day to day, but the lineup, I mean, buddy, you look at that lineup, holy smokes.
Okay, I'm going to ask, I want to ask that, because everybody's been saying, are they competing harder than they were in the last 30 games last season? Because to me, like, yeah, they're competing harder than they were in the first 31 because they were so bad. But then let's look at last year. Like, has this team improved at all from where they were last year and how they played till now?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, from the time they were out of it last year and then down that meaningless stretch, you compare that to where they're at and how they're playing right now, that would probably be a little bit more fair a comparison. But, I mean, I would probably say yes, and here's why. That game they played against Chicago, they played a good game. And they had no business being in that game. The lineup that they're icing night after night right now, with the guys they have, I don't think they should be competitive most nights and be able to really challenge too many teams. I mean, it's kind of that watered down, and I mean, they got all kinds of injuries and American League players. So I think that even though they're not that good because of the personnel, I do think that they are sort of working harder. I feel like I'm watching a team that's trying harder night to night. Don't you feel that way? Like, I didn't get that sense. I didn't really get that sense last year after they were out of it. It was painful down the stretch.
Well, they were, what do you mean? They were 14-3-3 down the stretch last year.
But I just think with what they have right now, don't you think that they are at least competing? I mean, their lineup right now is pretty bad, man.
No, I know, but I thought they were competing last year down 30. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think the bar's so low based on the first 31 games this year that people are getting, like, Todd Nelson's now had 30 games as the head coach. They've won 11. When we can talk all we want about being competitive, they've had, in those 30 games, they've had five atrocious stinkers.
Yeah.
Right? Like, atrocious games. Which, they used to have 10. So I guess if you want to say that's the bar for improvement. But to me, that's just saying the bar was so grossly low before that people are looking. And, I get that people say it, but I just think it's something that's being said way too often where the facts are just not there. Like, they've had a few games.
The question is, what's the question? If you're asking me, do I think that they're competing harder? Yeah.
Then they were, go back to last March. You think down the stretch when they won they went 14-13-3, they were competing less then than they are now?
Well, I mean, I don't remember. I guess you look at the record and think they were probably playing decent hockey, but all I can say is what I see in front of my face right now. And what I see in front of my face right now is a team that's working harder and competing more than they were. I can't compare it to a year ago. That's a little bit tough to do. I just know based on the personality of this team from the season that we've watched here. So Yeah, I mean, I guess if you run it down and want to compare the records to this time, this, you know, right now to last year, maybe there's not that much of a difference, or maybe last year their record was even better. But if the question is, has there been improvement since the coaching change, I would say that's an area where there has been improvement. Just depends on what the question you're asking is.
Yeah, well, I guess improvement from such a low level, it's easy to say there's improvement, but and that's why I want to take a step back. I don't see any improvement in the organization, Ryan. They're no closer to being a team than they were last year, to a playoff team. And that's where I look at it. That's why I try to eliminate the first 31 games, because all that does is skew our vision. And, well, they were so bad and they were out of those games, but geez, now they've won 11 out of 30, but they're competing harder. Like, I think, and what concerns me is that the organization feels the same thing, because visually the GM says they're better. And I'm telling you, there's no statistical data that will say they are better.
Yeah, well, and I don't think that's where I'm pointing to suggest that they're better, right? I'm just watching the game, watching the way they compete, watching the fact that, yeah, they'll have terrible games because they're still a terrible team. But then the next game, they'll come out and play above their heads. That's a tendency that this team is showing. Then they can be terrible again the next game because they're still a terrible team. I'm not saying that the GM needs to keep his hands off it because this thing has gotten better and it's coming around. That's not what I'm saying in any way, shape, or form. There's lots, and I agree with you. There's a lot that needs to be done for the group to be able to compete for the playoffs. But I guess I'm not necessarily talking about the statistics so much as I am just about the individuals, the players that we know so well because we've been watching every game for the last however many years. And that is going to matter when it comes to Todd Nelson's future. That is going to matter. The stats and the record and all that will be important, but the fundamental question of did those players compete harder for him, that's going to be important when it comes to whether or not he gets to keep coaching this team or not. So if that's the question, then I would say yes, it appears they are. Even if the stats don't back it up. I mean, their lineup is terrible. It's terrible. I mean, it's terrible. I mean, missing Taylor Hall, the guys that they're missing, the regulars, it just depends on the reference point, though.
Well, tonight's lineup, now with Lander and Pouliot back, they're missing what, Taylor Hall?
It's definitely better with Lander and Pouliot back, for sure. That helps them a lot, for sure. But between Pouliot, Lander, Hall, missing from the lineup, and then Petrie getting traded, I mean, that's all pretty significant stuff from what this team had 2 months ago, 2.5 months ago.
And I think that, you know, going to Todd Nelson, they have to interview other people, and it's not a shot against Todd Nelson because he might be the best one. But they need to look and see who's available, because to me, and honestly, I don't even think it matters who the coach of this team is, because clearly they're just not that good. They have a coach now they like, and they're playing harder. They can't win on even a 50% basis because they're just not that good. And that to me is a clear, and that is the most concerning thing for me, because I don't see where they're going to make all this improvement up. Because even under Todd Nelson, they would be on pace prorated for 71 points, which would put them in, guess what, 13th place in the Western Conference.
No, and I don't disagree with most of what you're saying. I do think that it significantly matters who the coach is. I think we've seen that it matters if it's not if it's the wrong guy. Right? There could be a bunch of guys that are just kind of whatever, or you might go find the right guy. But if it's the wrong guy, then I think it matters. The GM's got the most work to do, for sure, though. I mean, he needs to get better players. And it's not going to be easy to find a starting goaltender and one or two top-pairing defensemen, because that's what this team needs. And that is not an easy off-season task. So, yeah, it's on the GM. I agree with you that they need to interview other people. I think it's organizationally, they don't do a good enough job of looking outside the organization to fill important positions. We've talked about that before, right from when they hired Craig as general manager down to Bill Scott as assistant general manager down to it's everything. And I'm not ripping the guys that got these jobs. I'm saying as an organization, they have weird hiring practices. They don't interview people. They don't bring people in and say, what do you think of our organization? How can we be better? And give me your ideas. They don't listen. They don't bring in the best, brightest minds and ask them questions and learn, maybe have an open mind and learn a thing or two about themselves. No, there's none of that. They know, right? They just know best. So they just go hire people, just bang, done. And it's just not the way. It's just not the way to run a business. You think Daryl Cates runs Rexall like that? Like, what do you think it takes to get a job in upper management at Rexall Pharmacy? You think you just get handed the job, or do you think it's pretty grueling? And if you don't perform year after year after year, what do you think happens? So why is the standard for the Oilers so much different than I'm assuming it must be for his entire empire, his business empire? It's weird. It's bizarre. It's a weird hiring practice that I'm surprised is allowed to happen under Daryl Cates. Surprises me. If anything, he should know how to do this. I mean, if you believe that's the guy, great. Interview three or four more other ones and make your decision. But you can't just go handing people critical jobs. Scott Housen, same thing. Just handed him that job after he'd been let go by Columbus. It's like just over and over and over. He's handing people jobs. That has to stop. It's like an epidemic in the organization.
I totally agree with you. Shogger, I agree. Enjoy the game tonight.
Okay, buddy, you too.
Ryan Rashog from TSN.